take and lost the vote.
When's that election? We can't forget to get our seats filled, but we're.
Be like school board, just let Pat run everything.
There you go. The tape's running.
You didn't think I knew that? Why'd you think I leaned into the mic? Feeling spry today.
Okay, we're gonna open the city council work session for Tuesday, March 27th. In attendance today is Councilman John McLeod, Councilman Owen, Daniel Owen, and myself, Councilwoman Susie Heimbachel, also City Manager Matt Brower. Are there any public comments before we get started? All right, topics for discussion today are CRAs, and I will turn it over to Mr. Brower.
Thank you, Council President. I'm gonna again turn the time over to Estrida to advance the discussion on CRAs. Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
And thank you for taking time to workshop community redevelopment areas today. We will discuss proposed CRAs in West and East Ocala as well as an area west of I-75. In addition, we will take a fresh look at the existing CRA to determine if you are interested in an expansion there. City Council, we are providing you with this subject matter today because we need your direction. As you know, there are a number of options associated with developing community redevelopment areas. All options have benefits, and all options have costs. We would like to explore those with you. We will show you four boundaries. Each has a different size, and each accomplishes a unique set of objectives. Given the benefits and the costs of each boundary, we hope to achieve a reasonable balance so that the benefits of redeveloped downtown sites, the improvements of the 2035 vision, vibrant and stable neighborhoods, and welcoming and sophisticated corridors can be achieved at the lowest possible cost. As we go through the presentation, please keep in mind that a key feature of a CRA is a redevelopment trust fund. It is not funded by a new tax, it is funded by the increment of property taxes in the future, which are above a base year and for use only in the CRA. Those revenues would not be available for use outside of the CRA. Just a little background, please recall that state statute authorizes CRAs, which are intended to reverse the economic and the social deterioration of areas caused by slum and blight. Conditions of slum and blight are many, but they include high vacancy rates, outdated streets, intersections, parking layouts, inadequate lot sizes, code enforcement issues that are consistent, deteriorating structures, crime, and decreasing property tax values, to name a few. Once a boundary is defined, a finding of necessity will be generated by staff documenting at least two of these blighting conditions. Following that FON, a redevelopment plan must be approved by City Council addressing and reversing these blighting conditions, and the Redevelopment Trust Fund provides those resources to implement the plan. Ocala has one CRA comprised of the Central Downtown and the North Magnolia areas in effect until 2038. City Council serves as the agency, the Community Redevelopment Agency, and has the sole authority to establish the redevelopment area. The current Redevelopment Trust Fund is estimated to be at $3.6 million in 2012, and it currently generates about $670,000 per year. And among the redevelopment activities that the TIF, as it's known, can fund include property acquisition, demolition of structures, transportation-related improvements. And you may realize that in the past few years, the North Mag area has utilized those funds for marketing purposes, for sidewalk improvements, for lighting, and so on. The downtown has used those funds for mostly for facade grants and has had in mind to reserve those dollars for large projects in the central downtown area. Current status of the project. You might recall about 11 months ago, you authorized the formation of large study areas. Staff looked at those study areas and developed draft findings of necessity to document conditions of slum and blight. In August, you approved the formation of community advisory committees to help us in this task. We've been meeting since September. Three committees have been formed, one in East Ocala, one in West Ocala, and one in the I-75 West area. And we've been busy learning about CRAs, learning about conditions of slum and blight, touring the areas, and developing boundaries. This picture is a picture of the CRA study areas that we showed you last year. This was our starting point. The draft findings of necessity that we did based on 2010 data revealed conditions of slum and blight in these broad areas with the understanding that the community development boundaries that would eventually be drawn would be smaller, thereby also meeting those conditions of slum and blight. We have four boundaries to show you today, all reflecting possible CRA redevelopment areas. They range in size from the smallest in area to the largest in area. And as we go through the slides, you will note how each plan, because of its unique configuration, addresses specific blighted conditions and achieves a unique set of redevelopment goals. This is option one. It's called the Expanded Central District Plan. You can see that the northern and the southern boundaries are the city limits, and the east boundary is 11th Avenue, and the west boundary is MLK Boulevard. This is a super-sized version, so to speak, of the existing CRA. The existing CRA is in the middle. It's of orange in color, and the expanded portions that I've just described are in pink. This would allow additional redeveloped sites in the downtown area to be redeveloped, and it would also allow improvements to the near downtown area from most major corridors, including MLK, Pine, 40, 14th, and Old Jacksonville Road.
Could you tell me again, what is the boundary on the east?
Sure. The boundary on the east is 11th Avenue.
Okay, 11th Avenue. So yes. Would this CRA consume the current CRA, or is it the area around it?
It would
be separate.
It would consume the current CRA. Okay. There would be one CRA.
One CRA, and that would include that.
Correct.
Okay. All right.
Correct. Should you decide on this plan, the number of acres is just over 3,500, and in 2031, with very conservative assumptions, it is estimated that the balance in that redevelopment trust fund from that area that you just saw would be about $10 million. I believe that's about six or so from the city and 3.9 from the county because of the differences in millage rates. Option two, expanded central district and State Route 40 gateway plan. This is the same expanded central district that you saw a second ago, but we've added the State Route 40 corridor from 36th Avenue on the east to Southwest 60th on the west. This, the depth of the parcels is approximately two parcels deep along State Route 40.
in the redevelopment trust fund, and of course, that's divided up 9 million or so from the city and 6 or so from the county. The third option is called the corridors plan, and you can see that it includes all of the major corridors throughout the city in the east, west, and I-75 west area. It does not include an expanded central district, with the exception of the area south of the existing CRA, which is the hospital district. That's an important area, and Dyer Michelle will be speaking about the importance of the hospital district and the medical district in just a few moments. Should you choose the corridor plan, that would encompass approximately 7,500 acres of the city, and over a 20-year period of time, we would estimate about 20.2 million in the TIF, 12 from the city, 7.9 from the county. The fourth option. The fourth option is a very worthy option to talk about, in that we have been talking about this fourth option called the Neighborhood Corridors Plan within our committees since September. Here today to talk about the East Ocala Neighborhood and Corridor Plan is Dyer Michelle and John Hunt. The West Ocala Plan, Arvella Haynes and Jimmy Griffin. And Valerie Daly will be talking about the I-75 West Plan. Before I call these individuals up, however, I just want to point out in the first slide and in the other slides that the intensely colored area, the green, would be the area that we propose constitute the Neighborhood and Corridors Plan. What you see in yellow would not be in the plan. And if you have any questions about why certain areas were excluded, we'd be happy to answer them. But just so that you know, the historic district was excluded. A newer, more modern area.
I'm sorry, Estrida. I'm sorry, could you come back?
Come back to the microphone.
I'm sorry.
We're not picking you up. Thanks.
Sorry. What was the last thing you heard?
What?
The intensely green area is the area for that would be a part of the CRA. The areas in yellow would not be a part of the CRA because the committee felt that it would not meet the blighting conditions criteria. So, for example, south of Fort King, you see the historic district that would not be included. North of Fort King, that wouldn't be the more modern, newer part of Wyomena. Jervie Gant would not be included. The complex, the city complex would not be included, et cetera. So the intensely green colored area would be included. And I believe John Hunt will come first and talk about that area, followed by Dyer Michelle.
Good afternoon, I'm John Hunt, 910 Southwest 1st Avenue. First of all, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today about the process the East Ocala CRA Advisory Committee has undertaken to facilitate the creation of a new redevelopment area. 8 members make up the advisory committee. They are Dyer Michelle, who is here today, Gerald Ergel, Margaret Mayer, Hema Rupnarian, T.J. Jarvis, Melissa Townsend, Mike Robertson, and myself. We represent property owners and civic and commercial interests in East Ocala and have a vested interest in improving its overall condition. This group of individuals was brought together to survey East Ocala, and based upon conditions of blight and economic decline, recommend a CRA boundary. Once the boundary has been approved, We will continue to work toward the generation of a community redevelopment plan to recommend to City Council. We have been meeting since September of last year. In November, we toured much of East Ocala, including all of the major corridors and neighborhoods, including many of its industrial parks. Actually, Mike Robertson and Dyer Michelle and I took a second tour just to confirm our observations. Along the major corridors, specifically State Road 40, Pine Avenue, and 14th Street, among the conditions we observed were outdated structures with high vacancy rates, buildings and parking lots no longer reflecting modern-day development trends, and infrastructure in need of repair. As you know, these conditions serve as barriers to redevelopment and hasten the trend to decline. While a number of the neighborhoods in East Ocala still appear stable, others are not. Neighborhoods once characterized by home ownership appear to have lost their stability, and signs of decline are evident. The decline of the neighborhoods is closely related to the deterioration of the physical and economic conditions which exist within the commercial and industrial corridors. The CRA boundary that we recommend includes the hospital district. We felt including the area encompassing the hospitals and a concentration of many medical complexes was important in order to attract and retain high-quality medical providers to Ocala. The highest growth sector in most cities, it will become increasingly important for Ocala to remain competitive in attracting this profession. As you may know, the area is challenged by outdated street and parking patterns, outdated intersections, sidewalks and curbs in need of repair, and the general overall decline of Pine Avenue. Both major corridors and neighborhoods would benefit over time by upgrades to sidewalks, curbs, and streetlight lighting. Bringing overhead electric underground would serve to reduce visual clutter, provide better protection to the system, and modernize signalized intersections. While many of the needs are immediate, our perspective is long-term. We look forward to the benefits of additional development momentum provided by additional capital investment, which will make East Ocala a destination for businesses, families looking for homes, and increased pedestrian activity. With an ongoing investment in infrastructure, the advisory committee believes a higher and better use of real estate will be realized, and the slow decline of this area will be reversed. The committee is committed to continuing its work of generating recommendations related to redeveloping East Ocala and hope to present those to you by year end. Thank you, and I'll turn it over now to Dyer Michelle.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Could you give us your name and address?
Yes.
Thank you.
Dyer Michelle, 2324 Southeast 14th Street here in Ocala. And like John, I very much appreciate the opportunity to serve with the committee and to participate in the CRA discussion. And we'll see where we go. And hopefully, council comes to conclusion on it. We'll have an opportunity to continue to work with you to see some of the fruits of the process come to fruition here. I'm not going to repeat everything John said. I want to touch upon just a few things, but I will affirm something for you because I think, let me read the question that I've I've posed for myself, and the answer that I've come to for myself and the committee, I believe. Do we as a committee believe that the circumstances that we found within the boundary of the East Ocala study area, as depicted on the map that you have before you on your screens, that those circumstances are sufficient findings of necessity to justify designation of a CRA? And we're not detailed and knowledgeable as staff is on all of this, but we have spent time in the committee to try to get an understanding. And from what we've observed, what John discussed, and I'll maybe point a few additional things out as we went through the process, I think the answer to that is yes. We're looking at a very broad area, and you've looked at a series of maps already, and they tend to focus either exclusively on the city and an expanded expansion of the existing CRA immediately around the city, or on the major corridors. And I appreciate, and perhaps there is a great logic, if you're trying to develop this, you've got to start someplace, and you're looking to generate revenues because of changes that happen and which result in an increase in the taxes that are generated from the same property but modified. And so you want to generate that in a way that's going to be growing. There are areas, and if you look on the map to northeast 14th Street, say east of 8th Avenue, and to the north of 14th Street, as you're going east, if you take the tour, you'll get into communities. And those communities have older homes. The streets have no curbs. There are no sidewalks. There's very little lighting. They're basically probably mostly people who are renting, and there's a level of transiency, transiency, okay, as a result. Lots of kids, younger people. We immediately thought to ourselves, well, safety potentially is a problem here. The kids are wandering up and down the streets as when we were there. It's immediately adjacent to a not industrial but commercial area. There are, as you go on down 14th Street and you get to 25th Avenue, you go north on 25th Avenue, and on now you're going north off of 14th. You're going to come to a couple of big vacant now for sale buildings. Okay. That have been there and are sitting there and are but there's an opportunity there. You go 36th Avenue, come down 36th Avenue, and as you get just past Fort King, particularly on the right-hand side, but you're going to see homes that are pushed right up against 36th Avenue at that point, and how people get in and out of their driveways without being killed, I'm not sure. But it's, what can we do about that? You go down to the Magnolia, you go down to Maricamp on 36, and take a right, and you come back down past the new Publix and in that area, and what can be done so that all of it, over the next years, basically gives you the sense that the new Publix gives you, it's planned and so forth. You get to the hospital district, and I want to spend a minute on this, but in the hospital district, if you walk up and down the streets between the hospitals and come on down to, I'm on the Heart of Florida Health Center board, and you come down to Heart of Florida Health Center, which is the old health department, on a sidewalk, you're going to find out that the curbs are coming apart. The sidewalks discontinue at various places. The street itself, the intersection, when you come up, gosh, I don't know what street. Well, Lifetime Fitness and Monroe, the north end, okay? That street, when you come to that intersection, and you just look around and what's it like? It's not like the Ocala that we would see in our minds as it's a great place. Hospitals are great. Ocala Regional, Monroe Regional, beautiful hospitals, and the parking lots are nice and so forth. You go on south, over the hill, between the hospitals, down the hill, and you get past the parking lots and the auxiliary conference center and so forth, and go across 17th Street, and you look on both sides, and how are we doing? Okay? On Pine Street, if you're coming down Pine Street on one block to the west of Monroe Regional, and as you come by Monroe Regional at that point, you're going to find some empty buildings. Well, Pine Street's Pine Street, okay? And so we appreciate that's in everybody's plan. But what I think we would all like to see is that in the hospital district, which probably, aside from government, employs just in that area, more than anybody else in Marion County, it's 2,500 at Monroe, there's got to be another 1,000 across the street at Ocala Regional, you've got 3,500 employees there, then you've got all the doctors, you've got, okay? There are a lot of people in the healthcare industry there, and there's an opportunity to make that a beautiful place to be, no matter where you are in it. And the CRA monies can do that. But I don't want you to forget, I think the idea of the corridor plan being where you kind of got to focus outside of downtown makes sense. But you're talking about a plan that's going to go on out till 2030, 2035 visioning plan. It's a long time. I would hope that everybody in Ocala is going to get included no matter where they are, because the plan as it's on the board in front of you, at least for East Ocala, stays, but maybe that's where we're going to get in 2035, and we're going to start by addressing the corridors, because that's where you can get the greatest bang for your buck from an elevation of the tax base perspective to have an impact on the monies you need in order to make it happen. But I want to get back to the kids who are running around in the neighborhood just north of 14th Street. We don't want to forget them, okay? They need to be safe. And when we get to the west side, I expect we'll see the same thing. I've talked way too long. I was supposed to be a couple of minutes. But I appreciate the opportunity, and I look forward to continuing to be part of, okay? And I think the rest of the committee does as well.
Any questions? Where north of 14th Street?
You go to 14th Street, go up 8th Avenue, okay? Go east, hit 8th Avenue, take 8th Avenue north, get to 14th Street, take a right. You with me? Just before the railroad tracks. And, yeah, okay, and then head east. And you'll go down, 7 or 8 blocks maybe, 10 blocks, take a left, and you're going to go into a neighborhood. And they're not all the same. They're all different. But a couple of them that we went into, the scene that I described of young kids, the homes that are not what you would hope for, okay? No sidewalks, no curbs, actually, the water runoff, I think what we observed was basically because of the elevation of the land versus anything else. Lighting, almost non-existent, so that at night, what's going on with the kids in the streets and the whole business? Well, how do you elevate that neighborhood so that that'd be a great place to live, all right? Now, there are renters, and there are always going to be renters, and people like to rent, okay, but they can still be nice places. And it be good places for our kids. That's all I'm saying. We, okay?
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Thanks.
Next, I'd like to ask Narvella Haynes and Jimmy Griffin to come up and talk about their experiences with the group, the advisory committee for West Ocala.
Good afternoon. I'm Narvella Haynes. I reside at 4275 Northwest 88th Street Road, Ocala, Florida. First of all, I want to thank the council for giving us this opportunity to speak to you today about the process the West Ocala CRA Advisory Committee has taken with the hope of establishing a new CRA. This is the next logical step following this creation of the West Ocala 2035 Community Plan. There are 9 members on the West Ocala Advisory Committee. In fact, some of the same members served on the Vision 2530 plan for Ocala. We see the CRA as being the vehicle to carry out the West Ocala Community Plan. The members on the committee are Jerome Johnson, Brad Nemo, Mary Williams, Doug Cohn, Karen Hatch, Ruth Reed, Glenda Jones, and Jimmy Griffin, and myself. We are property owners, business owners, and civic-minded individuals who share the desire to move West Ocala forward in investing in property and capital improvements to reverse the all-too-apparent signs of economic and physical decline. We have been meeting since September of 2011 and began our work together by learning about CRAs, specifically the conditions that must be met in order to declare a CRA and the types of improvements that could take place to upgrade and sustain the area. In November, we toured West Ocala quarters and neighborhoods to help us determine boundaries. At this time, I asked Jamie Griffin, would he come and explain to us the boundaries that you see before you today and will discuss the needs. Thank you.
Good evening. My name is Jimmy Griffin. I reside at 301 Southwest 100 Porterfield Street, Ocala, Florida. And I'd like to thank you for having us here to talk with you about the CRAs. Again, as Mrs. Haynes has stated, we've been working since September of 2011 discussing the CRAs for Ocala, West Ocala area. And the boundary lines that we're looking at specifically is along State Road 40, the 27th Avenue, Old Blister Road, Pine Avenue, and 14th Street. Now, as some of you may or may not be aware, that in West Ocala, the housing stock in that area is very old. Even though some of the housing is located in a historic area that's been designated, there are still other housing stocks in the West Ocala area that is very old. So a lot of it need to be replaced. There are issues, infrastructure issues in that area, such as, again, you know, sidewalks, water and sewer hookups. And CRA designation and with the boundaries that was outlined would go a long way towards helping that community to move forward in the 21st century. There are issues, there are safety issues there, specifically with the water and sewer. You know, if the having water and sewer hookups, and I know some of that can be very expensive, but perhaps some way we can find a way to make it cost effective for people. And I can speak to you from my own personal experience that I just had recently with a property that I had assumed was connected to the city water and sewer, and I had a client, they had a sewer line backup, and they call out a plumber, and the plumber comes out and come to find out that the we were still on a septic tank. I'm going like, wait a minute, we're in College Park. How can that be? But anyway, but that's some of the things that we need to address, those type of issues. Again, we're looking at the corridors on Highway 40, Old Blister Road and 27th Avenue. There are still blighted areas in each one of those corridors that if we go on talking about generating a much larger tax base, we need to have infrastructure in those areas to fix up the roads, to have the water and sewer already made available in those areas so that we can bring in private capital, hopefully to get some developers to come along and develop businesses along those corridor areas. And again, by developing businesses along those corridor areas, the residents who live in those areas can have access to jobs. So that's a plus side to that. And even though there are some of the neighborhoods in West Ocala that appear stable, as you know, again, you know, some of the neighborhoods have been declining. There have been some new buildings there, such as the Laurel Park, you know, apartments, but we We're talking here about having housing stock and developing better quality of housing. And I'm not knocking some of the other housing efforts that's gone on in West Ocala, but again, I wish we could bring back the SHIP program. That seemed to give people an opportunity to be able to build houses that was based on current market values. You know, they could get loans that was reflective of current market, et cetera, but I could go on with that. But anyway, we need some better housing stock in the West Ocala area if we're gonna build up the area. Again, as far as making it safe along the State Road 40 corridor, you know, we do have kids along that, and even today, right now, if we go down State Road 40 heading west towards I-75, you see people trying to go across the streets and what have you, and you got traffic coming along there. And sometimes when I'm driving along the corridor myself, I do pay attention to the speed limit, because I'm conscientious of people trying to go across the streets. But then again, I have some other folks who may not be from the area. They're trying to get from point A to point B, and they are speeding along State Road 40. So that can be, there's a safety issue going on there as well. Again, there have been other numerous studies been done in the West Ocala area. One of them was the Hunter's Report. That was, I think, was paid for by the Marion County Economic Development Council a few years back. We've had studies done by when the city was getting the weed and seed funds. There were needs assessments that were conducted in the West Ocala area that identified types of businesses and services that was needed in the West Ocala area. Some of those business needs were identified, you know, such as a grocery store, you know, other services that the local residents could use. And in the Hunter's Point, it did identify the types of businesses that could potentially go in there, mostly service-type businesses that could go in the West Ocala area. And the lighting in the area, we need to improve the lighting in the streets in West Ocala. We need to have the streets lit up like they're in a national football park or something, you know? I mean, it is very well lighted. So that people can feel safe and you can see what's going on. And I can cite from personal experience in traveling around, I have done some work in other CRAs, but just take, for example, down in Lakeland some years back, I think it was on Florida Avenue, one of the streets down there. But anyway, they had the same kind of situation that we have here, blighted areas, bad housing. And the city did go in and make a lot of major improvements in those areas. And one of the things I noticed was the lighting. You know, the lighting is just very bright, and they created safety zones with good sidewalks. And we're also talking about having connectivity with West Ocala and downtown Ocala. I know we're gonna have some challenges in doing some of those things, but again, having a CRA and have a designated a geographical area that we can focus on and concentrate on. And we're talking about, what, 2035? So that's gonna be a while. And so I would ask the council if they would to give this a lot of consideration, because again, we can narrow it down, and the people who live in the area, you know, we can focus much better on a smaller area instead of trying to, in an expanded area. And make some improvements in it that would help the neighborhoods, build up the tax base, make the community safe, bring economic development into the community.
Are there any questions, Mr. Griffin?
I guess, no. Ms. Hayes, are you coming back again? All right. Any questions?
Thank you very much.
All right.
Again, we just want to thank you, and in closing out, we just wanted to let you know that the advisory committee recognized that this is going to be a long-term plan. This is not going to happen overnight. We're going to have to accumulate, there's going to have to be a lot of funds accumulated for this project to make the investments and the infrastructure to help us accomplish the 2035. But we believe that this is the first step in helping us to be able to accomplish some of those goals. And the committee is committed to continuing to work with city and staff and making recommendations and any work relation to make sure this becomes a reality. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to invite Valerie Daly up to talk about the work that the I-75 West committee accomplished. And that is the picture of the area.
Good afternoon. I'm Valerie Daly, and I reside at 12454 Northeast 14th Avenue in Anthony, Florida. And I, too, thank you for the opportunity to speak to you today about the process of the I-75 West CRA, and which the committee has undergone. The same similar process as to the other two committees. Our group is the smallest of the three advisory committees. In addition to myself, Steve Edwards of Edwards Construction, Gary Ewers of Fire Programs, and Pete Beasley of Rasmussen College are members of the committee. And our boundaries consist primarily of commercial and industrial property west of I-75. The 2035 vision identifies this area as where most of the Ocala's future employment will be centered. We have been meeting again, like all the others, in September of last year and toured this area in November. Primarily, we toured the major transportation corridors, which included State Road 40, State Road 200, US 27, and Southeast 20th Street. We also toured 44th Avenue, the flyover under which it's going under construction right now, and the future segment of Northwest 44th Avenue, which will eventually connect all of 44th Avenue to the new proposed interchange of I-75 and 49th Street near the future Ocala Marion Commerce Park. While our estimates are preliminary, the highest number of vacant commercial and industrial properties in Ocala are located in this area. And out of nearly 250 inactive commercial and industrial City of Ocala utility accounts, 40% or 98 of these accounts are located in this area. Area realtors attribute high commercial and industrial vacancy rates to an overabundance of obsolete space, which is no longer meets the needs of 21st business practices. And we have insufficient major access to major transportation corridors. While the private sector can address the needs of the obsolescence, it's unlikely that the additional capital investment will be made to areas suffering from a declining economic condition and aging infrastructure. In order for us to obtain commercial and industrial employers in the future, our cities must be able to deliver transportation and utility infrastructure that allows the businesses to deliver their products at the lowest possible cost to the shippers. As a group, the committee observed the potential of the I-75 West area for a higher, more intense level of development. Future commercial and development activity along the corridors will require wider turn lanes at all major intersections. We need updated signalized intersections, efficiently managed storm drainage, and enhanced signage. Right-of-way along State Road 40 and US 27, for example, may need to be acquired to add a greater transportation capacity to meet these needs. Most state and federal transportation grants, which could fund these eligible infrastructure improvement projects, require the local jurisdiction to provide a local match. Over time, the Redevelopment Trust Fund, which is an integral part of the CRA, could be a major source of this funding. So in conclusion, the increasing commercial and industrial vacancies, the trend of declining rental rates and decreasing property values, the I-75 West Advisory Council Committee recommends that the City Council designate this area as a CRA to reverse this trend. And in order to compete for site selections, the city must be able to demonstrate that it has put into place mechanisms which remediate undercapacity of infrastructure and reverse underutilization of its commercial and industrial space.
Thank you. Are there any questions, Ms. Daly? Thank you.
Thank you very much. This is what the neighborhood and corridors plan looks like side by side. And the stats on the neighborhood and corridor plan is that should this area be chosen, it would encompass approximately 14,600 acres of the city, or 58.3% of total area. In 2031, the estimated TIF balance could be at $27 million. And this is an important number to keep in mind for a reason that will become apparent in just a couple of minutes. But that $27.2 million involves 16 or so from the city and 10.6 from the county. I mentioned earlier that each of the plans have a unique configuration, and that because of that configuration, certain blight conditions are addressed and certain redevelopment goals can be addressed as well. You can see that across the top are the four options, and down the left-hand column are the important redevelopment goals that we would like to try to achieve through the Redevelopment Trust Fund over the 30-year period. For example, the first option that you saw, the expanded CRA, the super CRA downtown, if we were to utilize that plan only, we could accomplish the goals of downtown redevelopment. We could partially accomplish the goals of the 2035 vision. Unfortunately, we would not be able to accomplish the gateway improvements, that crucial corridor element. And we would not be able to accomplish the neighborhood improvements. And if you go across that table, you can see that with each plan, various redevelopment goals are achieved. With the last plan, the larger plan, most of the redevelopment goals are realized. Just a word about impact of boundaries. Please be reminded that the CRA cannot exceed 80% of the city. The tax increment comes from both the city and the county. It can be spent for capital improvements, but not general operating purposes. And it cannot be used outside of the CRA. This last bullet point is pretty important. New development would have to increase the tax base to replace the tax increment in the future. And that's what the next slide depicts. You can see that given those two very important development projects that we are working on, the Ocala Business Park at Ocala International Airport and the Ocala Marion County Commerce Park, together these projects would generate about 10 million square feet of industrial space. And again, my very conservative estimates point out that in 2031, we could receive 27 million in property tax revenues from those two developments. Please keep that one in mind, that figure, 27.2 million, while we scroll that up to the increment figure on the lower right-hand corner of the table. If the neighborhood and corridor plan were to be implemented, approximately 27.1 million would be diverted to the neighborhoods and corridors, and 16.5 million from the city's increment, which is well under what we hope to generate from new development from those two business parks. And there's that number once again. Important considerations. I know you know this, I just want to be able to reiterate that with CRAs, it's much more likely that additional private investment would be attracted to the inner city. And with CRAs, as you add general fund monies, for operating purposes, you add value. Without CRAs, the decline will likely continue, and the attraction of additional private investment to those areas would be very challenging. And those areas would continue to require general fund operating monies to remediate the conditions in those areas.
And those funds would be applied to aging infrastructure and declining property values without CRAs. Just a few pictures that I wanted to share with you, and I'll go through those pretty quickly. These are some pictures that we took in all the areas. So, at the beginning of this presentation, I indicated to you that we really need your direction. There are benefits and costs associated with each of these options. And as soon as you provide us with that direction, if you don't mind, let me just remind you of what those options are. Option one, the expanded central district plan. That is the supersized existing CRA that addresses the downtown, the expanded downtown north and south, and then the near corridors close to downtown. The expanded super CRA, which includes the existing CRA and the 40 corridor. The corridors. And the East Neighborhood Corridor Plan, West Ocala Neighborhoods and Corridor Plan, and then the I-75 West Plan, which is option four, the largest of the four options.
So each one of the neighborhoods are combined to create option four, which is the neighborhood and gateway plan. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. I've got a question about the last, the neighborhood and corridor plan.
Yes.
It's over 14,000 acres. What is the percentage of that to the city?
58.3.
Okay. So we don't get anywhere close to 80%.
No. There's that number.
Okay. Oh, great. Okay, I'm sorry I missed that.
That's okay.
Great.
Option one was the smallest. I believe that was 13%. Option two was 22%. Option three was 32%. And option four is 58%.
Does anyone else have any questions for Estrida?
No.
Mr. Brower.
Just a couple thoughts. First of all, I thought it was an outstanding presentation. Council could, if they decided, pursue more than one option at a time. In other words, as I understand it, council could go with option four, and they could also go with maybe option one as kind of a hybrid of the options. Is that correct, Estrida?
Yes, council could choose any of the options or take portions of what you see here and design your own.
That sounds dangerous.
It does, doesn't it? I think I'll take that back.
Let us get involved in.
Right.
Just a couple other thoughts. Mark Mundell and I had the chance to go up to Gainesville and tour their CRAs. Mm-hmm. And they've done some amazing improvements. They've been able to raise the CRA revenues and direct them towards some very specific improvements, which were, quite frankly, in many cases, jaw-dropping in terms of their impact on the area. Mm-hmm. And so I have firsthand seen the improvements that can happen with the establishment of a CRA and directing those monies at specific and targeted improvements. The only drawback I see as a city manager with the CRAs, and trust me, I believe that they're more positives than negatives, is at an economic time when revenues are very soft, any incremental increase that would be derived would, of course, not go to the general fund, it'd go towards the CRA trust fund. And the challenge you have there is when revenues are already soft, Any increases, of course, would not go to the general fund to provide general services. They'd go towards that CRA trust fund. And so as you look at establishing one or more CRAs, just be mindful about how much area is within those CRAs, because any incremental increase, again, would go to the CRA trust fund and not the general fund.
Yes, Mark just reminded me, I should probably talk a little bit about the financial assumptions associated with this table, for example. And I have a table like this for every option. You can see that I've estimated what the redevelopment trust fund might look like in 2031. If the TIF were established this year, 2012, the base year where the assessed valuations would remain frozen is 2011. If property values increase above the frozen level, then there is an increment that is deposited into the trust fund. If property values remain the same, there is no increment, or decrease, there is no increment. In this particular estimate, I assumed another decrease in 2012 from 2011. I assumed after that decrease, I assumed constant property tax valuations until 2016, and then a slight increase in 2017 to 2021. And then I assumed constant for a number of years, and then another decrease. So they are very conservative, very conservative. I do not assume a 3% increase per year or anything that's as positive as that. So, and I also assume that millage rates stay constant throughout the entire period. So the estimates are very conservative.
Any questions about any of that, Mr. McCloud?
No, do we need direction today?
Y'all are looking for direction today, I presume.
Yes, that would be ideal, okay. To have some direction.
What are your thoughts?
I would like to see the corridor and expansion of downtown. I believe that was number two.
So number two? Do you like number two?
Like number two, and also the corridors only.
Okay.
I think that was three.
Mm-hmm. Mrs. Rich, do you have any thoughts?
Is West Ocala number one? What is West Ocala?
This is just the neighborhood and corridors plan. That's just option four.
Estrita, will you bring up option three? Thanks,
yeah. Yeah, go to, so we can see all four.
Okay, Mr. McCloud expressed a desire to see option two, which is the expanded downtown plus the corridors.
Right.
And option three, which is just the corridors throughout the city, east, west, and I-75 west,
right,
north and south. Now, this plan does not include the neighborhoods.
It wouldn't. So right. It's kind of the same thing, but the neighborhoods are taken out, and it's just the corridors only.
Just the corridors.
Yes. Yes.
Mr. McCloud.
And two includes some of the neighborhoods and all the corridors, is that correct? At least to Martin Luther King, and then over to 11th?
Two, yes, includes going to the west from downtown to MLK Boulevard and to the east to 11th Avenue.
Right.
Which would include some neighborhoods.
This includes the hospital district also?
Yes.
Mr. Owen, did you have something?
Can you put the slide back up where it's showing all the...
All of them?
pluses and minuses of the...
Yeah, the benefits.
Yes and no's.
Diane has his hand.
My question?
Come on.
I'm going to ask that question.
Come on, excuse me?
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely, come on up.
At the mic.
Can we ask you one?
You have to come up here.
And the question gets to what's permitted from a CRA perspective. Can you start with the suggestion that's been proposed, but with, I guess, an informal decision that you're really going to the bigger picture, phasing in effect?
Right.
Our phase one is going to be, and our next phase is going to be, so that, and what I'm thinking about is Mary's question, because you really want to get to the neighborhoods ultimately, and maybe you can't start there.
Right.
But I don't know whether that's possible.
Right, so I think what you're saying is if we adopted the neighborhood and corridors plan, but start the improvements at the corridors and then work our way into the neighborhoods, is that your suggestion?
And you're going to have to get to a point that you've agreed upon in that development before you actually get into the neighborhood.
Move to the next.
But the intention is, yeah, you're going
to do the entire.
But you've got to work your way there.
Right. Mr. Owen, you had a question?
All right, not to get sidetracked, are we going to have a hospital to have a district?
We're working on it. Let's not get into that.
Exactly.
Ms. Rich or Daniel?
Well, I was just going to say, going with what Dyer's talking about, I mean, kind of, it's like which sells which as far as the community. Do the neighborhoods sell the corridors, or the corridors are what's bleeding off and working their way down into the community, you know, the neighborhoods? And that's where we're looking at this, and there seems either phases or hybrids or some sort of plan. I guess my other question, Matt, going back to what you were talking about, the pluses and the minuses, mm-hmm. and also, and I don't know, Mark, maybe you can, is there a science to, when you start running some of these other numbers and say we take this big approach and we can see this number 27 million and we get all excited about it, but we've expanded the territory so much that actual, just even from a number standpoint of saying the amount of money we collect versus the amount of acres that are in that, and you take that number, all of a sudden your number per acre, if you will, if you're going to take each acre and say everybody gets their little portion here, that number goes down because you've created it so big with the amount of money you're collecting. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. kind of, what's the bang for the buck, too? You know, staying small and tight, kind of what Dyer's talking about, that money generated, there's more money per acre almost in the sense that there's just that much more to enhance it, and where you end up with this, I'm just concerned if we get so big that... We just don't have, we don't have as much money as we think, or there's not as much money available per each. Again, I just take it right down, mm-hmm. per acre. When you go back through those numbers and looking at them, I mean, the difference is, I don't call it substantial, but it's definitely big. The amount of money available becomes smaller.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
That's why trying to get bigger.
Yeah, absolutely. As you grow the CRA areas, yeah, the values do look very large, robust, but if you look at probably the subsequent capital improvement plan that's going to follow, it's probably going to be a very small number in the big mix of things, if you understand what I'm saying. In other words, you're going to create a CRA, and then you're going to look at doing a CRA study. That's probably not the name of it, but you do a study to evaluate what are the improvements that you want to do there. And then you're going to prioritize it like you do a capital improvements plan, and then you're going to start prioritizing it. And so as you generate money, you're going to start targeting those monies at the most high priority projects. And so if you have a really big net out there, you've got a lot of stuff to do, but not a whole lot of money to go after it. And so for me personally, it's going after the biggest bang for the buck. How can we get the biggest bang in terms of the most revenue and get the most projects done?
And some of those numbers, when you look at them, just again, I don't know if this is the exact science, but just looking at it, you get down to $1,600 per acre, up to as high as $2,500 and $2,600 per acre. And so how that all, you know, parlays and everything, I don't know that I can, I don't know the answer. I just make sure we the end number to get all excited, look, we got all this money, great, what can we do with it? Because we've spread out such a big area, just what you're talking about. And then the flip side of that, when all of this can't be used to general fund and services, and that just starts everything, police, fire, water and sewer, you know, garbage collection, it's great, we've got all this, but the flip side of that is obviously we've got to maintain that level of service, and where does that money come from?
I think if the areas are targeted, you can, as I saw in Gainesville and as Mark saw as well, you can see significant increases in economic activity. I can take you up to Gainesville right now and show you where they've made specific investments, and you're seeing economic return on that investment because of the improvements they made to the community. And so one big benefit of all this discussion is that when you invest these dollars, like when you invest money in the downtown, it spurs private investment. People get excited. They want to be a part of a winning team. And all of a sudden, they start improving their properties. They start, you know, painting them and putting a new roof on and doing all these other things. And so, again, the balancing act council's got to achieve is making sure the general fund can fund its ongoing day-to-day operations. But I think also evaluating the CRA and the significant improvements that can be had through this mechanism.
Go ahead.
Okay. Do I need to give my information?
Just
okay.
Your name is fine.
Not Bella Haynes. I just want to remind you about the corridor, Special 40. The ones, the residents of Ocala and residents of West Ocala, the corridor of Highway 40 is what broke up the community in the first place. So when we talk about the corridor, just think about the whole picture, because there were businesses and things thriving in that area before 40 came through, and that's one of the things that we see as a barrier now. So make sure, you know, as you're planning, hopefully you will think about the community and residents as a whole also.
Thank you.
If I could just make one more comment about the phasing aspect, that would certainly be doable. However, as boundaries change, if there is an expansion, for example, desired after a 5 or 10 or 15 year period of time from a smaller area to a larger area, that requires another process, and that would have to another finding of necessity would have to be undertaken, and another resolution adopted by City Council. Certainly doable, but it cannot be done at one time. It would have to be done over time.
So we need to choose one.
We need to choose a plan, or I'm told we can design our own.
If council desires, I might also recommend, if you want time to think about this, we can also put it on a future regular council meeting agenda, give you time to really, you know, contemplate it and evaluate it, and come back at a later meeting and give us your thoughts.
I would rather do that, because I wouldn't want to see East Ocala done and West Ocala having to wait until
I think the
we can do it again. Well, I mean, as far as the neighborhoods are concerned.
Well, the neighborhood one is all together. So if we did East, we'd do West, and we do the West of 75. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay, so that I would go for all that one.
Yes, option, that would be option 4.
Option 4?
Mm-hmm. That's 58% of the city.
I would like a little bit more time to
to
look over this. I mean, I think which direction I'd like to go, but you know, I'd like to at least take some time to look over the maps.
Okay.
Maybe bring it up at a council meeting.
And maybe we could get a handout of this
Absolutely.
Presentation.
Yeah, we'll get copies of
it. Before you go today, we'll have it for you.
And then I'm going to have some more questions too, I think.
Before you leave today, we'll have it in your hands.
Okay, thanks. And then we'll just hold off on a final decision until a council meeting in the future. Do y'all want to do it at the next council meeting, or do you want to skip one?
Skip one, because we don't have the handout yet.
We'll skip a council meeting and go to the next one.
Okay. If council members like to meet with staff individually to learn more about it, get more information, happy to do so. Okay. Whatever we can do to help.
That'd be great.
Is that what, Madam President, I'd like more information on how this affects the day-to-day operations of the general fund and things of that nature. So.
Right. Okay. Sounds good.
Thank you so much for your time. I will have copies made now, and make sure you get those before you leave.
Thank you. Are there any other council questions or comments before we adjourn? Any public comments before we adjourn? Mr. Brown?
I have just one, going back to the City Council Audit Committee.
Yes.
The external auditor did make note about some issues in the electric fund. I just wanted to reassure council members that we'd be advancing a management plan to deal with that.
Okay.
And advancing that plan to council members so they have full confidence that this has got our complete attention, and we'll move forward on that direction.
Thank you very much. Okay, we're adjourned.